Welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being with us as we continue to battle for the soul of America. And I want to thank you for being here. If you'd like to send us an email, send it to whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. If you'd like to contact us by mail, you can do so by writing What's Important Now Radio, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Find us on Facebook as well. Okay, we're going to dive right into the program today. Recently, there was held a violent extremism conference. And I want to share with you an article. An opening prayer on the second day of the White House's summit on countering violent extremism is only going to add to all the noise in Washington. It's not the prayer itself that's raising people's eyebrows. It's the circumstances around it. According to CNSnews.com, a Muslim prayer was recited at the start of the summit, but no other religious text was presented during the portion of the event that was open to the press. The text of the prayer was translated and explained to CNSnews.com by Imam Adam of the Islamic Civil Society of America. Quote, those verses of the Quran mean, whoever kills a soul unless for a soul or for corruption in the land, it's as if he has slain mankind entirely. And whoever saves one life, it's as if he saved mankind entirely, Adam said. He went on to say that mosques serve as a beacon of hope, while imams provide moral compass for the Muslim community in navigating life. End of quote. Obviously, those aren't the only verses in the Quran, considering the graphic nature of events like the ISIS beheading of 21 Christians. Public pressure has been immense regarding the White House's official position on the matter. Some say that this should be a clear religious war and that the dialogue should reflect as much, with Christian martyrs on one end and Muslim persecutors on the other. Obama, though, has sought to keep things politically correct for as long as he can. In his op-ed piece in the LA Times, he maintained his commitment to non-committal by not pinning extremism on Islam or any religious group, writing, quote, we also have to confront the violent extremist, the propagandist, recruiters and enablers, who may not directly engage in terrorist acts themselves, but who radicalize, recruit, and incite others to do so. End of quote. Iman Robel opening prayer at the White House summit complicates matters because both sides of the aisle view this through different lenses. While the White House opened the summit on countering violent extremism, it neglected the undisputed number one source of such extremism in the world, Islamic terrorism. This isn't a matter of political opinion, it's a statistical fact. The START consortium that actually compiles statistics on terrorism shows decisively that the overwhelming number of violent terrorist groups are carried out by Islamic terrorist groups. Not only that, according to the Global Terrorism Database at the University of Maryland, between April 20th, 2004 and 2012, there were 20 fatalities and 57 injuries from terrorism in the U.S. Islamist attacks were coded by the GDT a total of 3 times and counted for 16 fatalities and 34 injuries. In other words, it counted for 80% of fatalities and 60% of injuries over the more than 7-year time span. So when the Department of Homeland Security releases a report about the supposed menace of right-wing extremism, it's important to note that at the same time, the White House is messaging about a virtually non-existing phenomenon of right-wing terrorism in a nation of 300 million people. At the exact same time, a conference on violent extremism is being held featuring a radical imam and no other religious denominations. This is amazing to me. Number one, it needs to be recognized and realized. And first, let me say one of our listeners sent that article to me, and I appreciate that. But it's amazing to me, this administration just continues to overlook, disregard, and ignore. And I don't think they're ignoring it. I think they're purposely hiding, although it's not hidden, the fact that this is where the terrorism is coming from. I mean, what is so difficult about saying that? And ladies and gentlemen, what we need to understand is this is a religious thing. It's been happening for a really, really long time. Let's be honest about it. It's been happening for a very, very long time. I am a believer that it'll happen up until the end of time. And I actually believe, if you've listened to our radio programs on the Islamic Mahdi, I am a firm believer that Islam and Christianity will collide at the end of times. That's a whole nother program, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow and check those out. Anyway, I find this absolutely amazing, and now I'm being told that the Secretary of Homeland Security is actually saying that his job is to give voice to the plight of Muslims. Wow. Jeh Johnson sides with Barack Obama about not getting at the root of the terrorism taking place in the world today. And that root is Islamic extremism. He actually went on to say that he believes he has to give a voice to the plight of Muslims. Listen to what he said. Quote, "We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in the country and the discrimination that they face. And so I personally have committed to speak out about the situation that very often people in the Muslim community in this country face, the fact that there are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world and the Islamic faith is one about peace and brotherhood," end of quote. Notice how he says there that he feels it's important to reach out in the country and face head-to-head the discrimination that Muslims face. Okay, listen, let me say this. I am a huge, huge fan of America being America. And let me say this. On our Christian American Heritage programs that we did, we talked about the separation of church and state and what all of that meant and what things like Patrick Henry said and the things that other founding fathers said. What did it mean? Well, number one, we proved that their conversation, according to the congressional record, now, again, as I've said many times, you can act like you know what they said, you can assume you know what they said, or you can go to the congressional record where by law it was recorded what they said. And it's very clear what was going on. They were not talking about various religions coming into our country. What they were talking about was various denominations within the Christian church. And again, I don't have time to go through all the history of it, but if you begin to look and study it and examine it, you'll find that it was about various denominations within the Christian church, and they did not want to see one denomination rise above or receive preferred treatment over another. That's what was happening in England. And so they didn't want that. They were trying to prevent that. Now, that's not to say that they would try to isolate any other religion. That I cannot speak to. What I can say is that the congressional record says and states, according to their own words, they were trying to prevent a particular denomination within the Christian community from rising above another. And it's very clear throughout the words of John Jay, even Thomas Jefferson and others, that it is believed that without a doubt, they felt that Christian politicians should be in office. John Jay, first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was very clear in what he said. He said that we had a responsibility, an obligation, a duty to make sure that we appoint Christian individuals. And that's what he said. That's a historical fact. And so I believe that as an American, as Secretary Johnson says here, that he believes that he wants to give voice to the plight of Muslims. He wants to help combat the discrimination of Muslims. Listen, I'm kind of like, I believe God is a God of choice, and I've said this millions of times. People have a right to believe what they want to believe, okay? I believe in the Christian faith. I know that Jesus Christ is real. I know he's alive. I know he's well. I know he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the reasons I know are too many for me to go into. But the best evidence is that I know he lives within me. With that being said, God is a gentleman. I believe this with everything in me. He does not force himself on anyone. He wants everyone. His word says that he would that none perish, but he doesn't force himself on anyone. And so I don't believe that it's in the best interest of anyone to mock, ridicule, discriminate against anyone for any reason, because people are making choices. And God is a God of choice. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's a chapter of choice. I call it the if chapter. He says, if you do this, you're blessed. If you do this, you're cursed. But people still have to choose. And so I don't believe that it's proper or appropriate for anyone of any faith, any religion, to discriminate. With that being said, just because we're not to discriminate against Muslims, and there are peaceful Muslims, let's go ahead and make that clear. They exist. This is not a fairy tale. But I'll tell you what else is not a fairy tale. Islamic extremism is not a fairy tale. The statistics that I just read you, that's not a fairy tale. That is legitimate statistics. And I just read an article, and if I can find it before I go off the air, I'll bring it up. But I just read an article how ISIS has a presence in all 50 states in the United States of America. We did a program about how Islam is taking over America. We did that as well. Let me tell you something. It's the fastest growing religion in the entire world. And there's reasons for that, too, that I'm not going to get into. Use your imagination. Figure it out. But here's the thing. We should not discriminate. But at the same time, can we call an apple, an orange? Can black be black and white be white? And that's the issue that I have with this administration, is that when 21 men were beheaded, Christian men beheaded, the White House said would not reference the fact that they were Christian. Now, we're chasing our tail in this country because you cannot... Let me rewind. We're chasing our tail because you must be extremely careful how you build on a foundation. For instance, our country has a foundation that is Christian, but yet we're trying to build everything else on top of it. Patrick Henry was very clear in what he said. He said, this nation is a Christian nation. It was not founded by a religionist. It was founded by Christians. It was not founded on religion, but it was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry, you know, give me liberty or give me death, Patrick Henry. He said that. Benjamin Franklin, who was not noted as being this Christian, he pointed to the Christian faith as the best. He's also the one that when everyone was fighting amongst themselves as it pertained to power within the country. He said, "Why have we forgotten our dear friend, the one we called upon? We ask for help, and it's clear that he helped us." I'm working on a series of programs that, and I've mentioned this before, about the miracles of the Revolutionary War. Miracles, because there's no way. Great Britain was the greatest power ever. They were big. We were little old David. And there's no other way to explain it but that it's a miracle. But I have a huge issue with thinking that we can just go around this issue. And I'm so sick of the running away from the truth. And another thing that I received from one of our listeners, this is a quote from Valerie Jarrett of Stanford University in 1977. "I am a Iranian by birth and of my Islamic faith. I am also an American citizen, and I speak to help change America to be more Islamic. My faith guides me, and I feel like it is going well in the transition of using freedom of religion in America against itself." Does that not sound like a religious war? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm fighting. Let's be honest. For all of us who are Christian out there, we are standing up because we believe that the Christian faith is the best way. There's proof to that, of course. But let's be honest about it. This has been happening forever. But don't you think lines are crossed when people start losing their lives? I think so. And you call it what it is. You call it what it is. And they say, well, if you call it Islamic terrorism or extremism, you label all of the Islamic people. And I don't necessarily agree with that. For instance, David Koresh in Texas. The guy was crazy. I don't think there's anyone that would argue that. I suppose there probably are those that would argue that. But the large majority of people, they're not going to argue with that. Well, he claimed to be Jesus. Call it what it is. We're not afraid to call that what it is. Call it what it is. There's maniacs and psychos that will hold to a lot of different things. They'll claim a lot. I mean, how many times have you heard of a serial killer that said he heard the voice of God telling him to kill someone? Well, that's no more Christian than anything else. That's not Christian. That's not a Christian way to behave. We know that. The Bible doesn't promote violence. The Bible doesn't say kill the infidels. Let's call it what it is. And just the same, there are Muslims who are peaceful. They're not out there trying to harm anyone. As a matter of fact, they're just trying to live their lives. And they should be afforded, in my opinion, the same rights and freedoms of anyone else. Just the same, the American Family Association just put out a map. Let me pull it up here. It's called the Anti-Christian Group in America map. It's a national map, and it's, let's see here. The American Family Association has identified over 200 groups and organizations that openly display bigotry toward the Christian faith. The website, afa.net, /bigotry map, includes an interactive map that identifies groups whose actions are deeply intolerant of the Christian religion. Their actions have endorsed efforts to silence Christians and to remove all public displays of Christian heritage and faith in America. A common practice of these groups is threatening our nation's schools, cities, and states. By threat of lawsuit, they demand that prayer be removed from schools and city council meetings, Ten Commandment monuments stricken from courthouses, and memorial crosses purged from cemeteries and parks. because of anti-Christian bigotry, private business owners have been sued and forced to close their businesses. Families and businesses that express a Christian worldview on social issues often face vicious retaliation from anti-Christian zealots. Some members or supporters of these groups have committed violent crimes against Christians and faith-based groups. Physical and profane verbal assaults against Christians are methods frequently exercised in their angry methods of intimidation. And again, that map is at afa.net/bigotry map. But anyway, there are attacks, vicious attacks, taking place against Christians in a nation that was founded on Christianity. When I go to India, one thing you better do is respect their way of life. I go and I minister and I spread the gospel. But you don't go over there or anywhere and try to force feed anyone. And that's I believe, how God is. God, He wants us. He wants us to encounter His precious Son, Jesus Christ. He wants that encounter to take place. He wants there to be that acceptance. But it's up to us. It's up to us. And so I don't see things the way that Muslims see things. And I don't see things the way that atheists see things. Atheists believe that either they are God, which is more of a humanistic point of view, or they believe that there is no God, that this is all a fairy tale. And as I've said many times, if you're right, if you're wrong, you've lost everything. If I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. I just think it takes more faith to believe that, boom, everything happened than it does to believe that God made it happen. He created it. But anyway, regardless of what a person's beliefs are, whether it be some other religion, whether it be atheism, whether they want to go out in their backyard and throw flowers around a tree and worship that tree, that's up to them. But the moment they cross over the fence and they start bringing harm to people because they're not worshiping that tree, there's a problem. And I don't understand why our president, this administration, can't see that it's a problem. Let me say this. I realize that he sees that this terrorism is a problem. I'm not sure that he's trying to do a whole lot about it, but I don't think you can be alive and not understand that this is an issue. It's a problem. But there's little kids, you know, I've seen the pictures, I've seen the videos of these little Christian kids who refuse to deny Christ, being locked in cages and ISIS threatening to burn them alive. Unfortunately, I've seen the video of the Jordanian pilot who was locked in a cage and burnt alive. And as he ran around that cage and did everything he could to get away from those flames overtook him. Or the 21 Christian men that lined up along a beach and had their heads removed, decapitated for the world to see, all because they believe in Jesus. Not because they're bombing ISIS. Not because they're bringing violence on ISIS. Just because they believe in Jesus. And you won't find in the Bible where the Bible teaches you to retaliate for those actions. The Bible actually says, and Jesus said, that if someone smacks you on one cheek, turn the other cheek, and let them smack you there too. Or if they take your coat, give them your cloak also. See, that's Christianity. You won't find in Christianity where if you don't convert, you're told to be killed or murdered. Or if you're trying to help lead someone to Christ, if they don't accept, you're to kill them. You don't find those things. But isn't it, or doesn't it seem that in our country today, that Christianity is the enemy? I actually heard that our president said it's time for us to begin to investigate why these people are upset so that they don't become upset. Oh, I don't know. I just don't know. But I know this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Get this. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a battle or war that's going to come to an end anytime soon. I wish that I could tell you that it would or that it will, but ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to come to an end anytime soon. And I would predict that it's going to get much, much worse. You see, because I happen to be a believer that we may very well be in the times that the Bible described. And I know statements like that, they automatically isolate people as crazy. So put me in the crazy category. That's fine. Trust me. I've been called way worse. I just believe, according to Scripture, I can see that, and it could be 100 years, it could be 200 years, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, I know that this is not going to continue forever. Call me crazy. Call me a believer in fairy tales. Call me whatever you will, but I can tell you this, when our country was walking in the ways of God, not that it ever or has ever walked completely in the ways of God, but when we as a nation, as a majority, look to Him, things were a whole lot better than they are now. And the more we continue to push Him out of the way, the more we continue to cater to Islamic terrorists, it's just going to get worse. The reports now are that America doesn't even have the military strength to conduct two wars if need be. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get offended, I'm sorry that you're offended, but it will not prevent me from saying this. This president has transformed our country more so, in my opinion, than any other president. And he is quoted as saying he knew he had a responsibility to do that because he believed the Constitution was a flawed document. We're out of time. I do encourage you to write me, whether by email or by mail. Email address is whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. You can send your letter or prayer request, prayer support, whatever, by mail to What's Important Now Radio, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Check us out at blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow for other archived radio programs. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter. And it is important now. I'm Tom Sears. Back next week, Lord willing. God bless you and your family. Take care.